Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
October sports. It's nuts. It's a soap opera. You heard what Baker said, and you got to get into Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers and what was said about Aaron Rodgers and what's actually happening on the field and what team's falling apart and October baseball, Dodgers coming back and Red Sox and Astros and strike calls being missed and NBA season starts. October is the best time of year for sports. This is unbelievable. We only have 4 hours to get into everything. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, wherever you get your podcasts. What's going on, guys?
Happy day for you, Key.
I mean, it's
good win last night.
Here's what I'm saying, man. I wasn't worried one bit.
Come on, man. Get out of here.
Well, it's baseball. So that's what happens. Nine innings. You go nine innings. You can't say that because in the fourth inning we're down 4-2 that it's a wrap.
I feel you. It means just like Cody Bellinger.
We go down 5-2, you know. So you just sit there because you got three outs and basically an inning at bats at the bottom. So you got time to kind of warm up a little bit and
Yates, where's the lies, lies, lies?
Yes, we know
lies,
how baseball
lies.
Works, Key.
Where's the lies,
lies, lies, lies, and more lies? Lies, 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 and more lies.
Well, I wasn't lying. I just was explaining
lies, lies,
how I felt last night. I was a little ticked off at Gavin Lux, but I understand the sun. I get all of those sort of things.
I feel like the text messaging would have inferred that you were a little bit more than ticked off.
No, it...
I looked down at my phone and there were 63 text messaging.
Well, that was probably
he was out on
that
the
was
ledge.
About the seventh.
Yeah, that, wasn't,
that was about
that
the
wasn't,
seventh inning.
Yeah, we didn't even get to the eighth yet.
Because about the seventh inning, I was getting ready to turn it off.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, no, well, hold on. Let me just
see. So that
tight.
Cool, calm, and collective voice that you have this morning is not the cool, calm, collective Key I heard
but
last night.
But we won.
So you're good now.
The Dodgers, a win is a win.
The
man.
Dodgers are
Absolutely.
Really the Dodgers are really good. And I got to be honest, seventh inning, eighth inning, they're about to go down 0-3. I swear to you, I did not think the series was over. Not only did I think they could come back in that game, but I thought even if they lose this game, it has been done before.
Yes.
And I just think the Dodgers are the better team.
We are the better team. 110 wins versus whatever it was, 89 or 88 for Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, we are the better team.
Like, significant.
There's no question.
No, I think it was 92 for Atlanta.
Was it 92?
I think so, yeah.
Whatever the number is. But it's one of those situations where Walker Buehler was doing fine. Mm-hmm. It was 88 in a regular season.
Is that right?
Yeah, 88 in a regular. I knew it was somewhere in there. But when you look at it, Walker Buehler was dealing. He was fine. They were connecting, but it wasn't like they were, you know, they were just killing him.
You're looking at his stuff.
When you start to get into a rhythm, when you get into that fourth inning, sort of the third, fourth inning, and he's pitching, you know, 70-something, at that point, he had pitched about 76 balls. And at that point, you're like, okay, they start connecting. But then all of a sudden, you get the Gavin Lux mishap. And then all of a sudden, another guy goes on base. And then you say, okay, we got to go and get the guy ready up in the pen. Let's go. And once we start going to our pen and we slow things down and settle down, because I think he was charged for five, I think he was only charged for four runs. And then we gave up the fifth. But then we have five more innings to go.
All that is fine. Cody Bellinger is just saving your team's ass, man. He's been doing it this postseason.
Postseason
has been the next level for him. That three-run blast, man, that set the whole tone in eighth.
Well,
Chris Taylor, you know, stealing second. Then Mookie Betts comes up, still in eighth. Like, that was a major, massive run where you just feel like a championship team. That experience, they just put it together in eighth.
He's like a fake Mr. October for us, though. Mm. He did it 2 years ago when he was the NLCS MVP, the big catch in center field. He had another jack. I mean, he does a good job in the postseason. The regular season, he's been struggling, no question about it. But Mookie Betts is big for us.
Why'd you call him a fake Mr. October?
Because the real Mr. October is Reggie
Jackson. Okay, okay.
So you call him a fake Mr. October.
Got it.
It's tongue-in-cheek sort
of
thing. But I think we're right where we want to be. We got two more games at Chavez Ravine, and we go back to Atlanta, and hopefully we take care of business. And even if we lost, like Max was about to say, we still had two more games at home. We don't want to go down back to Atlanta 3-2, no question about it. But yeah, if we had to, we would have did it.
The odds are against the Dodgers if they go down 0-3, obviously. Severely against them, but I would not have counted them out. They still had chances. And now down, you know, down one game, after three games, unless the series is basically over because someone's down 0-3, someone's got to be down a game. It's the Dodgers. They got two more home games. By the way, you're right about Bellinger. And to me, always when your baseball team is down, the guy who ties the game with the big hit, that's actually the biggest thing. The guy who prevents you from losing. But I got to say this, Mookie Betts, right? How often does an enormous free agent signing or enormous acquisition like Mookie Betts turn out this good? This guy is, he's unbelievable.
Most of the time, they do, though, Max, when they're like him.
Very few are like him.
No, but I'm saying when you get a guy who, he was red hot already with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So when you get a red hot guy coming to your team that's already a dude, he doesn't disappear on you. When you get something that you think is a dude, like a brand, eventually that brand goes away. When we got Manny years ago, Manny was hot for us for a minute, then eventually it went away. So in this situation, he's still young. He's got all the tools, and he lives for this moment. He played in a big city like Boston, so this is nothing new to him. And I argue with people all the time, and I understand Mike Trout, everybody believes, is the best player in baseball, yada, 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 based on the numbers and the history and all that. My eyes tell me that dude the best player.
I got to say
something. And I get what everybody says about it's the team around Mike Trout and all that. But Mookie Betts, I don't give a damn what you tell me. He's the best player in Major League Baseball, man.
Let me say something about real quick, because Lakers played, Nets played. There's so much to get into today. Mike Trout is, at this point in his career, he's still in the conversation for best player who ever lived. Usually by now you could say that dude's not the guy. However, he has very little postseason experience, and when he was in the postseason, he did not excel, even though it's a small sample size. When you count the postseason for Betts, he's special. You see why some people say, yeah, he's the guy I'd want. All right.
He is certainly the guy I would want.
Meanwhile, he's the guy you got, Keith.
All 5-9.
The Warriors rallied from 10 down, Jay, beat the Lakers 121-114. Lakers had an 84-74 lead in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, and then just went ice cold in the fourth. Russell Westbrook won very good. Steph, on the other hand, had the triple-double. What are your thoughts after watching the Warriors storm back on the Lakers?
The Warriors have an identity. They know who they are. They are a team that plays around Steph. Everybody plays very similar to the way Steph plays in their continuity offense. And 11 new players for the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James, year 19. I mean, for him to be 37 years old, turning 37 in December, to have the points he did last night, I might have to recalibrate my MVP conversation because I think he will be in that conversation. But look, Carmelo Anthony at times, a defensive liability on the floor for them down the stretch in the fourth. It's going to take time for this team to find out what their identity is defensively and offensively. And Russell Westbrook, look, we talked about this yesterday, always starts off slow. He's a ball-dominant guard. Now he has to share that responsibility with LeBron. That's going to take time for this team to find.
Yeah. Westbrook's good. Everything's going to be a mess in the first half of the season. Wait till the second half. Here is LeBron James at the post-game presser on Westbrook's struggles.
I just think it was just the first game jitters, to be honest. I don't put too much into it. Probably was a lot just going through his mind, just being a kid from L.A. and, you know, watching the Lakers growing up. And then however many years down the road, now you're putting on a Laker uniform and you're stepping into Staples Center. And you probably had... I can only imagine how many friends and family have contacted him over the last 48 hours wondering if they could come and see his first game as a Laker. Those things, those demands and those asks and those things will quiet down as the season go on and on. So not worried about Russ at all.
I love it. I love the way LBJ protects his teammate. There's no question about it. But I don't think his first game jitters being at home. He's at home all the time. He sees those people all the time. I just think that he just had a bad game. Much like you say, Jay, as the NBA expert on this particular show, is that he starts slow. And when he starts slow, he then in the second half picks up and becomes an MVP-type candidate the second half of the season. When you look at Russell Westbrook's career, this is what now, Jay? His third team in less than 12 months? A little more than 12.
Yeah, more.
A little more than 12 months. So when you look at Houston, Washington, now the Lakers, that's three different teams in a little bit over 12 months. He's got to get used to playing with those guys. No matter what you say, training camp is not going to get you there. The course of the season is.
It's going to happen with this team, man. Look, age, I think they're going to be fine. Like, no need for knee-jerk reactions today. You know how it is. What's wrong with the Lakers? What's wrong with Russell Westbrook? It was the first game. Obviously, there's some stats that are glaring, right? Like, they're minus 23 in his 35 minutes. They're plus 16 in his 13 minutes while he's on the bench. But those are going to be tweaks that LeBron James and Frank Vogel are going to have to make.
But isn't that because AD and LeBron has played together? What is this, the third year now playing together? AD and LeBron. Westbrook ain't
11 new players.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
It's like, come on, man. We got 81 more, man.
This is
we
the
straight.
Fourth consecutive season that Russell Westbrook is playing on a new team with new teammates. It's the same thing every year. Like, you got to blame yourself after a while if you fall for this. It's not going to be pretty in the first half of this season. He will get it figured out. He always does. There's someone who doesn't have to worry about first game jitters because he won't be available to play. That's next.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Good morning, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. That includes Yankees manager, and yes, he's still the manager with a three-year extension, Aaron Boone, at 9:10 a.m. Eastern.
Trojan.
So Ben Simmons was suspended for the season opener at the Pelicans for conduct detrimental to the team. Coach Doc Rivers threw Simmons out of practice Tuesday, and the suspension was announced shortly thereafter. Remember, Simmons was away from the team. He was losing money, and so he shows up and, nope, I don't like what you're doing. Out of practice, still losing money, right? Well, we'll see. Here's Joel Embiid on Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent. Despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months. I don't really care. Our job is not to babysit somebody. You know, we here, we get paid to put just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, you know, try to babysit somebody.
Wow. I mean, that was enlightening, so to speak, by a teammate. When a teammate starts telling the public that they're not being paid to babysit another teammate, you already know the end is there. There's nothing they can do. As I said months ago, Jay, as you brought this up about Ben Simmons, and you astutely enlightened us on a conversation that you had with people that was informed that Ben Simmons did not want to be a Philadelphia 76er. And the first thing I said to you is, well, he's done. He's not going – you cannot accept a guy back in a locker room that is checked out, that does not want to be there. Because he's going to start looking for other things in general. When he's out on the floor, he ain't focusing on playing basketball. He's focusing on trying to figure out how to get there. Yeah, I may come in because I'm protecting my money to a degree. And then on the end, you ask me to do something, I simply don't have to do it. Now, you can say, oh, well, it's conduct detrimental to the team. Well, you're going to have to prove, I'm sure, there'll be some NBAPA situation going on where they're going to have to prove, based on that, that it's conduct detrimental to the team so they can protect his money. They're going to put up a fight. You can't just all of a sudden suspend a guy, kick him out because there's a confrontation with the coach and it's not going the way that you want to. I've been there, firsthand experience, where all of a sudden they say, well, it's conduct detrimental to the team. We're going to send him home a little bit. Well, I didn't do anything, Jay. Didn't do anything. Hmm. And maybe Ben didn't do as much as they say just because he doesn't want to be there and he has an attitude.
Key, it's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You ready for it?
Yes.
All right, Max, I have questions for you and Key, and it's simple, yes or no. Understanding the mental makeup of who Ben Simmons has shown you he is, right? An evolving guy that comes over from Australia, doesn't handle adversity well. Would you, as a betting man, bet that considering the vitriol that Ben Simmons is going to get from Philadelphia fans, considering the way he's handled this offseason, that he would thrive this year? Yes or no?
Not in Philly.
Okay, great. Second question. Considering what Joel Embiid, we heard him say now, but knowing that Joel Embiid has never rocked with Ben Simmons to begin with, I don't care what anybody says. That's always been the case. You're just hearing it come to a head now. Considering this offseason, the way Ben has handled the offseason, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, wanted to charter a private plane to fly out to California to meet with Ben, and Ben says, nah, I'm good. Considering all that, do you think Ben, Joel Embiid, and Tobias Harris would ever have a decent relationship? Yes or no?
No.
No, they're not going to have a relationship.
So with all that being said, why don't you just pay this man to go away? Ego is one hell of a drug. I understand everybody wants to say Philadelphia has all the leverage. You know, and Daryl Morey just wants to hold on to him. We're going to force him to come back and play. You're not. It's not going to work out that way. This Ben Simmons that you just saw, he's told you from the beginning he does not want to be here. So by bringing him back, even though he wants to get his money, he's going to come back because he doesn't want to lose his money. This is what's going to happen. You're going to have Joel Embiid have to answer questions about Ben Simmons. You're going to have chemistry disruption the whole time he's there. So why just not pay him to go away, let your team continue to go in the direction you want it to go, build the right culture, and either trade him to Portland for CJ McCollum, Robert Covington in a draft pick, go back, reevaluate what you think you can get on the market, take that trade. I would take that trade right now in a heartbeat, or pay him to go away until December, until the trade deadline, and then actually say, hey, now we're willing to deal and trade
this
him.
Is it such that...
Pay him to go away.
Is it that they asked him to come back, or did Rich Paul and Ben Simmons say, we're going to come back in because these are the rules, and we're going to come back in? And then the 76ers got him there, and they want to practice or whatever. Or did they have intentions on trying to put him on the floor, Jay?
I think they had intentions of trying to put him on the floor, and Rich Paul did probably advise Ben Simmons to come back to get his money. Right. Once they found out that another team, if there was a trade, couldn't recoup the money that they would lose. Right. Michelle Roberts made that open from the NFL, from the NBAPA. Rich Paul and this company guy's like, hey, come back and play. So that's what I'm saying. Understanding what it is now and how disruptive Ben Simmons is going to be. Why would you want him around this team to begin with?
But you can't force. And see, that's the weird thing to me. I understand if Rich Paul and Ben Simmons said, OK, I'll go back in to protect my money. But if the Philadelphia 76ers and the coaching staff said, Ben, come back in, we want to play you, that'll never work. That will never work because the players don't want you there.
That's what I'm saying.
And trying to force him in,
exactly,
it ain't going
to
work.
Point, Keith. That's why if you're Daryl Morey, you say to Ben Simmons, we are going to pay you. Take a leave of absence. We don't need you to be around this team and messing up what we have here.
Daryl Morey will try to sell as high as possible. And the real question is, when is that high point? Is it now? Is it later? That's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Why someone wants to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face.
Ooh, wow. I want to see that.
Punch him right in the face. And Rodgers says, relax, that's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
The Keyshawn, J. Will and Max Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. By the way, Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. We're asking, who's your dark horse contender in the NFL? You can hit us up. Aaron Boone joins us at 9:10 Eastern. Former Bears center Olin Krutz said he wanted to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face for the "I still own you" comment. He was real about it, too. He was like, it might be true. Yeah. I still want to hit him in the face.
All right. I'll tell Olin, pick on somebody your own size.
Here's Rodgers' response on the Pat McAfee show yesterday.
Look, I think that is to say, and I don't know Olin, and I respect him. He played in the league for a long time. But are we getting that soft as a society that we can't have worth now? I mean, you know, somebody can pay for a ticket and say whatever the hell they want, which I think they should be able to. That's fine. But the one time you say something back to him, that gets caught on hot mic, which, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that gets said from time to time. Now it's that, you know, I've disrespected, you know, an entire city and organization and my own organization.
Yeah, I don't think Olin Krutz, and I know Olin pretty well, I don't think he meant it as he was going to physically attack him. He just tongue-in-cheek in and saying he'd like to punch Aaron Rodgers in the face. Jay, it's a whole lot of people you like to punch in the face, right? I mean, but you're not going to punch him in the face. I mean, it's just, you know, how you see people say he has a punchable face. That's just, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's longtime Chicago Bear against all-time Green Bay Packer, longtime Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Famers, and it's just, it's that tongue-in-cheek back and forward.
That's something you say as a former player for your fan base.
Yes.
Because you want your fan base to recognize that you're not just going to come into our home and disrespect us by talking trash. Even though everybody talks trash to each other all the time,
yeah,
it's something you do to get behind your fan
base. It's not, first of all, when Aaron Rodgers says, are we getting that soft as a society? I think it's just the opposite. And Krutz sounded like he meant it to me. Not that he was literally going to do it. He was talking about how he felt, right? If you're a Bears fan, he's doing it for the fans. If you're a Bears fan, he gave it up. He said, it might be true. Yeah, he's 22-5 against us. Yeah, he owns us, right? The fact that he said it is still, I take that a certain kind of way. And for Bears fans who don't have a lot to be proud about against Aaron Rodgers, he's like, you know what? But we still got pride. And if you're a Bears fan, you live that through him.
But you tell people all the time, like, you know, I own you. Like, I literally own the Miami Dolphins. Mm. Like, every time I see y'all, I abuse y'all. And it's that's just tongue-in-cheek football. And he's, again, like you said, Jay, he's catering to the fan base.
Yes.
And Olin knows what he's doing. He's smart. He ain't punching no damn Aaron Rodgers.
No, he said it with some feeling.
Yeah, but he's not doing that. That's sports talk radio.
But I don't take him literally either, except that he feels like doing it. And he's expressing what the Bears fans are feeling. It's like, yeah.
No question. I'm gonna feel like punching somebody from Notre Dame after this weekend, I'm sure.
It does make it interesting, though, the next time these two teams match up, how some players will feel if they get a chance to hit Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, these type of things, when you hear things like this come out after games, players have bulleted board material. They mark down things now to get them motivated for certain games.
Mentally, you do. That's just like when Logan Wilson is talking about, you know, attacking or not attacking, but talking about Lamar Jackson being a running back, playing quarterback. Lamar has filed that in his mental.
Yeah, there you go.
Did he go
all day?
Did he just go let you know? I mean, they're going to figure out what to do. That's all.
Come on, man. We petty now. People try to act like they're very bravado and, you know, hey, I got all the confidence in the world, but we petty.
Yeah, but you're 22-5. You should just give Aaron Rodgers the pink slip to the building.
22-5. Could you imagine,
man,
you draft a quarterback and you have a divisional rival? You know in advance he's going to be 22-5 against that. By the way, he's 18-5 against Detroit. And his worst record, I looked this up yesterday,
his worst division record.
15-9-1, and that's the Vikings. The Vikings, at least, are just getting beaten pretty bad. 15-9-1 is a bad record, right? I mean, it's a good record against that other team.
I'm trying to think. The Vikings had good teams early in Aaron Rodgers' career when he took over. Yeah. They still had AP. What'd you say, Evan? Yeah, they had Favre. So they still – they were
– And Zimmer. Good. Zimmer's – remember, he was giving credit for the defense, figured out Aaron Rodgers. 15-9-1. But when you add it all up, Rodgers, in a weak division, really, he owns the whole division. Not just
that's
the Bears.
That's a weak division.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, you want to do some math, pull up Tom Brady's 20 years in the AFC East.
100%. Tom Brady.
Tom Brady might be something like 109.
Because you're talking about the Jets, the Dolphins, and
Bills.
The Bills. They're for 20 years, here and there was an okay quarterback in that division, here and there. But it was a bad run.
I don't think, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember Tom Brady ever being swept by any team in that division. He lost to the Jets once. He'll lose to the Dolphins once. The Bills might have clipped him once. But I don't remember losing like two to the Dolphins or two to the Bills. Mm. I don't remember that.
Can I just bring up a quick point? Because the last part of what he said was fascinating to me, because I find out in sports, we saw it a little bit with the Mets this year. Granted, it was with their own fan base. But the last part he said is, like, when these athletes are screamed at by fans all game, every single week, then when they respond by saying, I still own you, it becomes like this incredible story filled with vitriol from people. We hate you, blah, blah. I'm like, same people that scream absurd-ass things at you all day.
Like, you know what this dude just said about my mom?
I still own you, and now you're angry about it? Get out of here.
But the fans didn't really – I don't think the fans was really saying anything. They were just – Olin brought it up. I don't think the fans was really –
Oh, you can imagine.
The fans gave him the double bird.
Oh,
yes. That's why he yelled, I still own you. That's the double bird.
Oh, yeah.
How did North Carolina grandma give me the double bird with her daughter there in a North Carolina, like,
I got
cheerleading
outfit.
Did you deserve it?
What? Yeah, did I deserve it? Yeah, because I own North Carolina.
You should have heard.
I own North Carolina when I played at Duke. That's how I felt about it.
The chants in the bleachers in Yankee Stadium in the 70s and 80s with, like, kids, like, adults with their children, and the children are listening to what's coming out of their parents' mouths. They're just like, that's my dad. That's my mom.
Good role model.
All right, look. So, Rodgers, like, we just mentioned Brady. In the AFC East for years, all he had, they had a bye in the first round. They had a home playoff game in the second round. As soon as they won that, they're in the AFC Championship. It really helped Brady out. Rodgers is in a division, maybe not as weak as that for years, but a pretty weak division that he owns. So the question is this. Brady leaves the Patriots. Now that division's wide open, the AFC East, right? But if Rodgers leaves the NFC North, as many predict, who benefits the most? Which team?
I would probably think Chicago right now. Mm-hmm. I would think maybe Chicago right now, right? Because I don't know if Zim is going to be there with Kirk Cousins long term. But I think when you look at Matt Nagy, who will probably get an extension at the end of the year, sorry, Jay, and along with the young quarterback of Justin Fields, then yeah. And now think about it. Tom Brady has never lost to a division opponent being swept until last year. The New Orleans Saints did him in twice. Other than that, in his career, nobody's gotten him twice in the AFC East.
But then remember, Brady got the Saints in the playoffs.
Well, then, yeah, Brady got him in the playoffs.
He's never not beaten a team he's played like at least twice in his division.
The issue is not Tom Brady. The issue is the AFC East. It was so weak for so long.
It was weak, but at the same time, the issue is Tom Brady because you can't beat him.
Of course, Brady and Rodgers are super great. And they were in weak divisions. I totally agree that the Bears benefit most guys. Think if you're a Bears fan, and this dude is 22-5 against you. And not only do you have good reason to believe he's leaving the division, but you draft a quarterback who falls to 11, make a draft day deal, grab him. You've looked pretty good, and he doesn't even know what he's doing yet, and you've already looked pretty good, and Rodgers might leave. This is Christmas come early for the Bears.
Is this not Christmas comes early for Minnesota and the Vikings? Like, I know every time I'm on this show, and everybody does this, even Evan.
Well, that's every day.
Yes, that is every day. Fair. Wow.
Every time. Well,
every time I'm on this show.
Welcome, Jay Williams.
I would think that's every day. Clip that and run that back as personality to open the show. All I would say is every time I say Kirk Cousins, everybody goes, it's like the common theme with everybody.
No sex appeal.
It's a matter of time before that one happens again. But my thing is with Dalvin Cook, with Justin Jefferson, that receiving core, you don't think they're sitting there saying when Aaron Rodgers is all done, even if I do have a middle-of-the-pack quarterback, that we actually have the talent to surpass and win a division and go further?
I don't.
Minnesota this year?
I don't know.
Can you guys put a little bit of respect on what Minnesota is capable of doing?
Jay is 100% right.
Damn.
The reason we're not talking Minnesota is just because they're boring.
You guys
you just don't care a lot about Minnesota.
He doesn't move the needle for you, Key.
No, it's not even that. I've watched him play over the last several years, and they continue to keep extending him, and I don't understand why, and they're in the same position that they were in before with Case Keenum, a guy that is now a backup that – should still be the starter, in my opinion, in Minnesota based on how far he took them, and they're in the same position that they were with Case Keenum. So when I look at that, you didn't get significantly better. You paid more money, but you didn't get
better.
They have 1-point loss to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, they're one touchdown away from beating Cleveland. Now he played well. They've had games that they could have won. They were right there.
Did you just hear what I just said, though?
Yes, I did.
But let's go back and look at Case Keenum, Key. I agree with you about Case Keenum. By the way, he was sort of on the outskirts of an MVP conversation a little bit that year. He's in the top 10 that year, the way they were playing in the Minnesota Miracle.
The Minnesota Miracle and everything, but then they just moved on from him in his career. Whatever little bit of revitalization he had in his career just went bam.
Yeah. But Kirk Cousins is the type of guy that you sometimes say, yeah, he's fine.
You can do well with him if you have everything in place.
He's not going to put you over the top, though.
No, man, please.
All right. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's bring in a guy who knows a thing or two about the Chicago sports scene and the Bears. David Kaplan from ESPN Chicago on the Goodyear Hotline. Morning, Cap.
What's going on, gentlemen? How we doing today?
I'm supposing that not as well as you in Chicago. We're just talking about if Rodgers really does leave the NFC North next year, you guys just drafted Justin Fields. He already looks kind of good, and he doesn't even know what he's doing yet. Rodgers could be leaving the division. It's like Christmas comes early for Chicago, I'd imagine, David.
Yeah, because all that stuff, Max, broke the day of the draft. So we woke up in this, dead-ass quarterback doldrum here, and all of a sudden it's Adam Schefter's going, yeah, Aaron Rodgers may not be going back to Green Bay. Oh, and Chicago has acquired the 11th pick. People here are going nuts. So, yeah, it would be very cool because I really, truly believe this kid is finally going to end the nonsense from Sid Luckman to today. So, yeah, I feel like it's good.
What is that, 100 years?
71 years, Keith. 71 years.
Cap, what did the fan base feel? What was the reaction to what Aaron Rodgers said? Were they whatever, or did they, all of a sudden they're ready to just get on bus loads and go down to Milwaukee or Green Bay.
It made them matter at Matt Nagy. It did. It made them matter at the franchise, at George McCaskey and the president, Ted Phillips, because, like, last week, Aaron did this really cool press conference, and I like the dude. I've never met Aaron in my life. I've been on, you know, conference calls with him when he talks to us in the media, but I've never met this guy. But he's talking about growing up in California where they had very few channels on TV, but they got WGN, so he became a Cubs fan and a Bulls fan, and how much he likes the city and he likes the teams. And everyone's like, I hate this. This guy's really likable, and he beats us every time we play. So the majority were not mad at what he did. They got madder at our team. But I can tell you, I work with Olin Krutz, Lance Briggs, and Alex Brown, and when they heard all these comments, they wanted to suit up and go get him.
That's what I'm saying, Cap. As a Chicago guy, like you want to show fight. Let me ask you this. The day Aaron Rodgers retires, I need you to be objective right now. Who wins the division?
Chicago. Minnesota can't get out of their own way, and the Lions are a joke. I'm not telling you it's because we're amazing. I'm telling you it's by default.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Detroit, you can count out every year. So really, if Rodgers leaves the division, and if it's Jordan Love, let's say, and he doesn't turn out to be any great shakes, you're looking at Minnesota. And Minnesota, Cap, I guess you look at them and think, yeah, they're solid. They're not going to set the world on fire. If we can be a little better than solid, we got it.
Right. And we finally feel like we figured out the quarterback position. So I don't know who I said to you guys last week. I don't know who got the mat. I still think he wishes he could play Andy Dalton at this point in time, but they're riding with Justin, and he had a couple really good drives last week. We just got to score more than 14 points.
Yeah. So how would you evaluate him now, you know, third of the way through the season, give or take? What's your evaluation? What grade do you give him so far, Justin Fields?
I guess an incomplete yet because he hasn't played enough. You know, he got enough out of the running game last week. He doesn't have David Montgomery. He didn't have Damian Williams scheduled. Now they're going to Tampa this week. You don't think the GOAT is thinking back to last year when we beat them and he couldn't remember how many downs? I mean, I feel like it's a lamb being led to slaughter. But for Justin, he's played like a C right now. But that, I'm not being critical of him. It's going to take time. He makes mistakes, you know. He thought he had a free play the other day. Guess what? You didn't. You didn't get the flag, and it ends up in an interception. That was a huge, huge missed call. I mean, go back and run the tape and freeze it. That dude's in the neutral zone, but you didn't get the call. So, yeah, there's things he's got to be better at, but I really, really see him being light years ahead of where Mitchell Trubisky was, who, by the way, Mitch Trubisky, that's the last guy to beat Aaron Rodgers for the Bears. We clinched the division in 2018, beating Aaron at Soldier Field 24-17.
So, hey, what are we doing with Matt Nagy's future, man? Are we still on track to get that extension at the end of the year?
So I said that to you. Like, I'm with Jay. If I own the team, done. You're out. See you later. And I'm so tired of hearing you got to get this offensive coordinator and that offensive guy. Just go get the best leader of 53 men. Pete Carroll was a D coordinator. He's had great offenses. Same with Bill Belichick. Same with Mike Tomlin. These guys are all defensive guys. So give me the best leader of men. But if Justin looks really, really good, I could see them extending him. It's the Bears, for crying out loud.
Hey, yeah. I just want to tell you before we let you go, you know I own the Chicago Bears too. My producer wanted me to let you know I'm 4-1 against the Bears lifetime. So just want to let you know.
And you beat my Northwestern Wildcats in the Rose Bowl.
That's a bonus, though.
I was at that game. You did that in style. I mean, that was big time. 45-37, something like that.
Cap, before I let you go, why will the Bulls finish top five in the East?
Because they're really well coached and they got a lot more talent. My only concern about them is, do they have enough perimeter shooting? When you really need a basket, I'm not talking about in the paint, I'm talking about you got to have guys make shots. Who is that guy other than Zach that you go, that dude makes jump shots? That's my biggest concern.
I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the Bulls, rather. If Patrick Williams turns out, like, forget about this year. They'll be good this year, right? They won't be great. They'll be good. If Patrick Williams turns out to be the best player on that team eventually, now we're having a different conversation when you look at that starting five, I think, Jay.
You're exactly correct. And I interviewed Arturis, the president of the team, and I said, why did you not take Halliburton, who I loved in that draft, and they needed a point guard? He said, we loved him. We worked him out. The meetings were great. When you're picking fourth and you got a fluke, you won in the lottery, you swing for the fences and go for the grand slam. And we think Patrick Williams is a grand slam if he develops.
Cap, I watched him for a long time. I said it on draft night. He was the steal of the entire NBA draft. His size and his talent and his ceiling, it has a chance to be off the charts.
Yeah, they have no weak link in the starting five. Look at that starting five. Right guy, right guy, right guy. And if Patrick Williams could get to the next level, I'm just saying, different conversation. Thank you, Cap.
You're exactly right, Max.
Appreciate it, all right, as Cap. Always.
Have a great day, gentlemen.
That was David Kaplan, co-host of Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can hear them 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central on ESPN 1000. You can weigh in on the Aaron Rodgers discussion. Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. By the way, Aaron Boone, Yankees manager.
Trojan.
Joins us at 9:10 a.m. Eastern.
Ooh.
And then there's one quarterback situation where the quarterback says, I'm the captain. Look at me. I'm the captain now. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, wherever you get your podcasts, your smart speaker, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.